May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon with hymn 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. 514.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, Psalm 69 and 93. Psalms 69 and 93. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonour. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, for ever. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, do permit and enable us to approach unto thee in that only way thou canst be approached unto. O blessed Spirit of truth, do grant that our souls may be led by thee to the throne of grace. Do grant right desires. To grant a right realization in some measure of what we are and of our great need because of what we are. And a realization, Lord, of thy holiness, but a realization also of thy mercy. Lord, that we might bow in spirit before thee, as the publican did in the parable, and cry from our hearts, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, that we may receive that justification which he received through thy finished work, Lord Jesus. Oh, we plead, Holy Spirit of truth, may this day the Son of Man be lifted up. He who did say, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Lord, draw us unto thee. Draw us from this world, from all empty notion, from all fleshly religion, from all carnal confidence, from all assumptions and presumptions. Draw sinners, Lord, from Sinai to thee, that it may be fulfilled, as the hymn writer put it, and from Sinai to the cross of Christ's repair. Oh, may sinners this day be blessed. May thus the gathering of the people be unto thee, the heavenly Shiloh. Oh, may thy people be blessed. If there be any of thine dead elect here, it be thy appointed time for their calling. We ask for that mighty work of conversion. Lord, how greatly thy people need that mighty work of conviction, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We pray for this. And Lord, those feelingly guilty, undone, lost sinners, helpless, ready to perish, that by thy blessed influence, Holy Spirit, the great trumpet may be blown. They shall come which were ready to perish, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And Lord, what need we have, if one may confess to any other, of restoration, of godly increase. Lord, what lukewarm characters we so often are. Lord, what carnal creatures. Our souls cleave to the dust. Lord, what a solemn lack of grace. What a solemn lack of the fear of the Lord. What a solemn lack of a contrite and broken heart. A solemn lack of wrestling prayer. A solemn lack of faith, of love. Lord, what poor walkers we so often are. Oh, we beg mercy. Lord, forgive and restore. We would plead thy promise. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. I'll restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, my great army which I send among you. Lord, we pray then, oh, may something be done in thy holy name here this day, to thy eternal praise, to thy glory, and the salvation of thy church. And Lord, in her salvation, thy name is glorified. Lord, when sinners are called out of that broad way and put in the narrow way, when sinners are manifestly united to Christ the living vine, and bring forth those fruits For it is thy will that thy people shall bear much fruit. It is all to thy glory. Oh, we would ask then that thou would unite us to Christ the living vine, to make us fruitful. The barren woman may keep house. Lord, there might be those children, Christ's children, that blessed faith, repentance, hope and love, godly fear and every grace. The barren woman might keep house and be a joyful mother of children. We pray for this people here. Lord, we ask thy blessing collectively upon them as a church and congregation, that thy spirit may manifestly be among them. Lord, that thou wouldst grant that thy word may be with power to the hearts of thy people, to accomplish the great work, the terrible work, that thou hast said thou wilt do in thy people. Thou hast said thou wilt pull down all pleasant pictures. Thou overturn, 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 till he come whose right it is, and thou give it him. O Lord, if this church be as we believe it is, thy church, and members, Lord, are thine, their hearts, Lord, are thine. They are not their own. They are bought with a price. Oh, may it be clearly manifested it is so. And may such further godly additions be granted to this church. Lord, we pray, grant that grace that we so much need, because we are such sinners. We pray for this people here, where sin abounded, grace may much more abound. Lord, in our innermost hearts, in our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, in our steps, in our deportment, Lord, we pray for it, for each, from the youngest to the eldest, that this place may be as a city set on an hill which cannot be hid. Lord, we confess with shame our worldly conformity, so that so often we, the churches that profess to be the churches of Christ, are not like cities set on an hill which cannot be hid. But there is a mingling. The difference cannot be told. Lord, we pray, save us from this. Oh, do thyself, Lord, dwell in us. Do grant us thy own spirit, that there might be that walking in newness of life. We might be new creatures. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. Lord, do help. We pray for the young. We ask that as thou hast caused them, thy providence, to be found in this place this day, and we thank thee for this. Lord, oh, that thou would speak to them. They being in the way, the Lord might meet with them. Thou knowest, Lord, the secrets of all hearts are known to thee. Thou knowest whether those among the young or among any of us that have come up seeking a portion for our soul. O Lord, disappoint us not, we pray. Lord, do feed thy sheep, feed thy lambs, let fall those handfuls of purpose, those, Lord, that come seeking Jesus. Oh, may they get a glimpse of him. May they get a word from his mouth. Oh, those that come seeking to know that thou art their God and that they are thy people. Blessed Spirit, do grant them the spirit of adoption. Say unto them as thou hast promised, I will say it is my people, and they shall say the Lord is my God. And Lord, those that have come seeking direction, do grant it. Lord, and those that have come without any want, they've come aimlessly, or come for a carnal reason, Lord, we pray, where any of thine elect are found in such a solemn condition, thou wouldst mercifully work mightily in their souls. We're reminded by these annual occasions how rapidly our lives are passing. We thank thee for all thy goodness to us. In the last 12 months, thy loving kindness, O how great, thy forbearance, Lord, thy help, thy pity, thy mercy, Lord, thy kindness in chastening, but not giving us over unto death, thy kind provision, thy help. But Lord, we pray for a right exercise, to be granted us and kept alive, Lord, concerning our latter end. Lord, that there might be given unto us that divine energy, which will bring us to give thee no rest till thou declare our sins forgiven for the first time or in renewal, and grant us the light of thy countenance once again, that we may by the light of that countenance, seen through a glass darkly by faith, have the earnest of seeing thee face to face and not far off like Balaam, but nigh. Lord, to be brought even into thy everlasting arms, to see thee face to face. As thou hast promised, blessed is he that overcometh, for he shall sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat with my Father in his throne. And remember the church is represented here. Oh Lord, have mercy on Zion. Build the waste places. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, grant a gracious, godly revival. Pour out thy Spirit on thy servants. Help them, we pray. Make the word of God mighty through thee to the pulling down of the strongholds of sin and Satan and the building up of thy people in their most holy faith. Lord, oh, we pray. Save, we beseech thee. Send prosperity, we pray. Lord, that prosperity, which though it may be uncomfortable and is uncomfortable to our flesh, is real prosperity. Lord, the prosperity of thy gracious influence, the prosperity of being one with God in Christ, the prosperity of being made a close follower of Christ, the prosperity that Enoch was blessed with. We read he walked with God, he was not, for God took him. Pardon what one has spoken wrongly. Graciously grant what we have not asked for that we do need, as we would plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 152. I am, says Christ, the way. Now if we credit him, all other paths must lead astray. How fair soe'er they seem. 152.
Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to Psalm 93, reading verses 3 and 4. Psalm 93, verses 3 and 4. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The psalmist here has his eyes enlightened to see things in some measure as they really are. And he, by that enlightening, he sees two things. The dreadful danger set forth by the flood or floods, and he sees the only place of refuge. He sees the only one who can deliver from the danger and cause those floods not to sweep him away. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. We might speak firstly of this, in the entrance of sin into the world. What a flood that was. The Word of God does not tell us the origin of evil. We have no need to know that. The Word of God tells us all that we need to know. But what we do know, and the Lord's people especially, are brought to know this concerning their own condition, is that sin has entered like a flood. Man was born upright. He was made upright in God's image. But one sin, like a flood, took all that uprightness away. It rendered him dead. It brought death, as the Lord had said it would. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so each one of us here this afternoon must surely die. And we do not know when. But the Word of God tells us it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. The floods have lifted up. Oh, it rendered man in such a solemn, awful, dreadful condition. At enmity to God, having hatred to him, no desire after him, no love to him, no fear of him. It rendered man nothing but in a condition where he is nothing but sin. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up. The ruin, the complete depravity. The Lord says in his word, if the Ethiopian can change his skin and the leopard changes spots, then this people thus ruin my sin, can turn from their own way and change themselves. But the leopard cannot change his spots, nor can the Ethiopian change his skin. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. Now, of course, it was not sin itself that proclaimed man condemned, but through sin against an holy God, the floods have lifted up the voice, and what does it say? The soul that sinneth, it should die. Oh, the dreadful voice. The iniquity that cries out for revenge. And holy God has been sinned against. A sinner is in a dreadful condition before him. The floods have lifted up their voice. But then you see, that which followed, man ruined. And oh, the voice then of sin down through the generations. The voice of unbelief, the voice of lust, the voice of every sin. How powerful is that voice? The hymn writer says, sin has a thousand pleasing charms that flatter to preserve from harms. She richly gilds her treacherous things to make them look like sweets. Nor are the vessels of the Lord free from the voice of this sin, the allure of this evil. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Oh, my dear friend, the solemnity. God alone knows the number of souls that have already been swept into an eternity of woe through that one sin of Adam and Eve. As by one man, sin entered, and death by sin, the waves of that sin. You see, each of us are subject to the waves of this sin. Not one of us are exempt from them. Because we are descendants of Adam and Eve. David, when he was convinced of his sin, his gross outward sin, he was also convinced of why he had committed that gross outward sin. I was born in sin, and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Those waves then, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. But then, to come a little closer and try and speak of this in respect of those who are quickened by divine grace, quickened into life. And the very fact that they are quickened into life is a proof of this fourth verse. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. They are quickened into life because he is mightier than the noise of those waters. That flood that came when sin came, it did not take God by surprise. No. We read in one place, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. The Lord sitteth King forever. And what that sets forth is this, that all this flood that comes, the Lord is above it and he is sitting upon the flood. The flood is ordered by him to do his own work. He is not the author of sin, I'm not saying that. No. But he shall be glorified through sin entering into this world. And the solemn thing is, my dear friend, that God will be glorified in each one of us one day. He will either be glorified in our eternal destruction and damnation. Oh, what a glorifying of God in that. Magnifying his justness, his holiness, his purity, his almighty power, his unquestionable divine prerogative. But in his people he will be glorified in their salvation. Now, my dear friend, do you know? Or are you made by him anxious? Are you seeking to know? Which side of that dividing line you stand? I repeat, he will be glorified in you. One way or the other. The Lord on high then mightier than the noise of many waters. But I was trying to begin to speak of the Lord's people and their experience of these floods. Having been quickened into life by the Lord in sovereign mercy, because he loved them with an everlasting love and chose them in his dear Son and had an appointed time in his infinite mind and that almighty power to effect that new birth and then to make that sinner to know this that is in this text, the floods have lifted up. Before that one was thus quickened into life and convinced of their sin in some measure, made to realize their solemn position before God, they didn't see those floods. They were unaware of the awfulness of original sin. They were completely unaware of the existence of actual sin. And so this word speaks when it says the floods have lifted up, is when the Lord with his divine light shows that sinner what they are, where they are. And it's the floods of their own sin that have lifted up. They see sin where they didn't see it before. Now in this teaching, the Lord is sovereign. With some, as it is in nature, the flood comes in and rises very high in a very short space of time. That sets forth such a sudden and deep, quick conviction of sin, such as Saul of Tarsus experienced on the road to Damascus. The floods have lifted up. Did Paul see his sin before then? No. But he saw it afterward, didn't he? He saw it in that moment. Now with others, as in nature the flood is more gradual in its encroachment. Perhaps over a number of years, following the new birth, the Lord is convincing of sin step by step. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, and precept upon precept. But with each of them it comes to this point, the floods have lifted up. They're out of their depth in sin. They are too great a sinner for themselves to describe. Their ruin is complete. The floods have lifted up. You see, one thing we know about a flood is this, it gets in everywhere. Except there be some watertight defense. And where is the watertight defense in man? There isn't a watertight defense in man. And so when this sinner sees the floods have lifted up, they see that sin is in everything, not just some things about themselves. The floods have lifted up. Perhaps, as it often is with the Lord's people, they have not been suffered to go into gross outward sin. Some are, some aren't. But those even that have not, the Lord shows them the floods have lit it up. They may not have committed David's sin of adultery and murder outwardly, but the Lord convinces them of it inwardly. So that though they have not outwardly done what some of the Lord's people in his word are recorded as having done, the floods have lifted up. Oh, they see the treachery of their own heart, the deceitfulness, the enmity against God, the carnality, the lust, the covetousness, the worldliness, the unbelief, the hardness of heart, the enmity, the hatred of God, manifest by one's own behaviour and spirit, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. Oh, when your sins lift up their voice, when your sins testify against you, my dear friend, do you know this? If you're a child of God, you will know it. When your sins testify against you, when they rise up against you, but you see, they only do that at times. And this is the sovereign work of God. A child of God, after he is called by grace, he goes through many changes. But one of the changes he goes through is this. Perhaps one moment he didn't see his sins. He was sinning away, inwardly or outwardly. And he didn't hear anything. But perhaps the next moment when the Lord sends his word with a shaft of divine light into the soul and the floods lift up their voice. And what do those sins in a poor sinner's soul cry out for? Those sins speak condemnation, don't they? Do you know what it is for your sins to rise up and to say, sinner, you're lost. You're undone. Isaiah knew it, didn't he? When he saw the Lord, the Lord of hosts, whose train filled the temple. Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The floods have lifted up. Sometimes in the Lord's people's experience, perhaps after the Lord has been gracious to them, He has blessed them with conviction of sin. He has blessed them with a measure of living faith in Christ Jesus. Perhaps has blessed them with the forgiveness of their sins through faith. Blessed them with a measure of the love of Christ shed abroad in their heart. And they think to themselves, I should never get in such a bad condition now as I was. They think to themselves perhaps that some sins are now dead. The Lord has been so merciful to them that they'll never commit some sins again. And perhaps they go on for a while. And they do not. But then suddenly, and it may be suddenly, the Lord opens their eyes and they see that sins that they thought were dead are not dead. They're very much alive. The only reason they were kept under was the Lord's merciful and sovereign power put forth to keep them under. And if He has something further to teach them, and undoubtedly He does, when the Lord has nothing further to teach one of His people, He'll take them home to glory. And as He has something further to teach them, the sins, they rise up like a flood. Their voice, they lift up their voice. One of the things that a poor child of God sins say in their conscience is this: can ever God dwell here? Is the one here this afternoon and in conviction of sin, realizing the sin within you and the sin in your actual transgressions, those sins say, you can't be a child of God. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. All the power of this sin. We might speak of it with regard to that which the word says here, the lifting up of the waves in a couple of ways. The power of sin. Oh, I'm sure of this, that every one of the Lord's people are made to realize the power of sin is too strong for them. Through every resolve a sinner makes, those waves of that sin break it. It's like a sand wall. Not long before a wave dashes it to pieces. The waves of the floods lift up their waves. And what does the poor sinner greatly fear? Because of these waves, it's sin like waves coming in. He fears those waves are going to sweep him away into an everlasting eternity of ruin. That his lust is going to carry him to hell. His unbelief is going to usher him into a dreadful eternity of woe. That his hypocrisy is going to prevail and prove himself at last to be an impostor. That a treacherous deceitfulness of his heart, which he can't trace, is going to so hold him in deceit until he dies in deceit and perishes a deceived sinner. The floods have lifted up their waves. Oh, he would be different, because he is quickened into divine life. Paul says to will is present, but how to perform that which is good he finds not. And in a child of God's experience, perhaps I seem to have to speak like this as it comes to me. Perhaps there's one here this afternoon and you say, oh, I don't feel I can even say that to will is present. And yet even the truth that you realize what a dreadful will you have, which is opposed to the will of God, gives a hope that there is that even there of which the apostle says to will is present. You that say, oh, I would be different. You that say, I would have a will to do that which is right. I would have a will to follow Christ. I would have a will to cease from sin. I would have a will to turn from these things which are grieving, unprofitable, dreadful, damning things. The waves have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their waves. We might speak of it also as the word of God speaks of the enemy coming in. In Isaiah chapter 59, there's that promise. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, healing in his wings. Now that is not in the same place, but the promise there is the Lord arising upon his people like a sun. And the promise there, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh, the enemy like a flood. When with his ensnarements, his allurements, with the errors which he breathes, with the dreadful blasphemies and denials of the word of God which he breathes, oh, with those temptations he sets before the sinner, the floods have lifted up. You know, none of the Lord's people are exempt from this. But there are times in their experience when it is stronger than others. The Lord said to Simon Peter, didn't he? Satan has desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh, what a coming in of the flood. What a lifting up of the flood. That maid that said to him, surely thou art one of them. And those others that said to him, surely thou art one of Jesus' companions. Thy speech bewrayeth thee. I know not the man, he said, with oaths and curses. You see, Peter thought that he could stand, but when the floods lifted up, he couldn't stand. He proved it. He was out of his depth. And all the Lord's people proved concerning this adversary, Satan, they are no match for him. The floods have lifted up their voice. We might speak of the voice of Satan, hath God said, denying the very truth of the word of God. Can you stand against that? You may think you can. But what about when something is set before you that is so attractive to your nature? Can you then stand against Satan and say it is written? Not in your own strength, you can't. What do you do? Effectively, you deny that it's written. That sin, it is forbidden by God. But the temptation is, it's not forbidden, just as it was in that first temptation. The floods have lifted up their voice. Perhaps Satan even says to you, commit that sin. You can repent afterwards. The floods lift up their voice. Oh, the voice, my dear friend, how quickly we are swept away by this flood. The compromises in our life, the Lord open our eyes to see them. There are no compromises with God. Compromise is the wretched effect of sin. Oh, for the godly fear. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And how often it is with Satan, it's wave upon wave. Or do I speak to one here this afternoon and you're solemnly in a storm of the power of the adversary? And you know something now, what John Warburton said, devil dragged and devil driven. You feel to be given up to Satan. He seems to be able to do with you just what he wants. Now, if we're the Lord's, though it appeared, even in Simon Peter's case, that Satan could get him to do just what he wanted, he couldn't. Because what Satan really wanted was for Simon Peter to go out and do what Judas Iscariot did and hang himself. But he couldn't. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Oh, we might speak of the temptations of Satan concerning the word of truth upon which the Lord has caused one of his children to hope. The psalmist said to the Lord in one place, "By thy favour my mountain hath stood strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." Now that is the experience of a child of God. If you know not the difference between the Lord causing your mountain to stand strong, when he favours you with the light of his countenance, and it all seemingly coming to nothing when he hides his face, I tell you, your mountain doesn't stand strong by God's power. It stands strong by your own power, but it won't always. Your mountain, poor sinner, if it is of that kind, is like that house that man built on the sand. No doubt it was up quicker than the other man's, but down quicker too. When the floods came, and they will, it fell, and great was the fall of it. The floods lift up their waves. But then we might speak of this word with regard to all the troubles that come upon the Lord's people. Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." He was given by God some premonition of it. And in one sense, all the Lord's people, by faith, have a premonition of trouble, because the Lord has promised it them. He has said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He has said, "It is through much tribulation ye must enter the kingdom." The floods have lifted up, O Lord. When deep to deep incessant calls. Oh, when deep bodily affliction or deep circumstantial trouble, adversaries rising up. Oh, how the floods lifted up their voice in David's experience again and again. Oh, he said, there is but a step betwixt me and death. You see, what this poor sinner fears is this, that these troubles are going to sweep them away, and they would sweep them away were it not for this truth. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. But what is often the voice of the flood? When troubles come upon a poor sinner. You see, the adversary works with these things. And he paints things in a completely wrong way. He causes the flood to have this voice. If the Lord was your God, this wouldn't have happened to you. The floods have lifted up their voice. But then we might speak concerning the overruling hand and power of God with these floods lifting up their voice. When the Lord causes the sinner to hear the rod in the flood, and who hath appointed it? The voice of the flood. What is the voice of all these things that the Lord brings upon his people that bring them into such distress and disquiet and unsettlement and fear of their life? The voice is, this is not your rest. It is polluted. The voice is flee. The voice is, come my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee for a little moment. The benefit of the flood. The voice of God through the flood. Sinner, you're not safe except ye be in me. You're not safe except you be in that cleft of that rock. You're not safe except you be in that place the Lord spoke to Moses of, there's a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and cover thee with my hand while my glory passeth by. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, here is the saving, sanctifying effect by God of this flood lifting up and the voice and the waves. As the Lord, in the fell peril that sinner is in, as the Lord uses that sinner's feeling of being completely out of their depth to cause them to be in that condition where they need these tidings from him. And you see, the flood must get high enough. The flood must penetrate far enough. The flood must have a loud enough voice. Its waves must be strong enough to bring a sinner to the end of all his own resources, all his own wisdom, all his own righteousness, all his own strength. The Lord on high is only he on high that is mightier than the noise of many waters. He is the Lord on high. He is Almighty God. Almighty God. Above that flood when sin entered, the church wasn't irrevocably lost in the mind of God because the standing of the church didn't rest in Adam's innocence. The standing of the church rested in the person and work of the Son of God, in whom they were chosen, the Lord on high. My thoughts are not your thoughts, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord on high, the Lord on high, in glory, with regard to all blessed saving knowledge of this, hidden from the wise and prudent, on high. He can't be discovered in all the education of the natural mind. He can't be discovered with all the pryings of the natural senses which are depraved by sin. He is on high. He is in heaven. He's behind that veil. But through his dear Son and by the operation of the Spirit, he makes himself known in his appearance here on this earth, his appearance in sinners' hearts. The Lord on high is mightier, mightier, almighty. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Mightier than this noise of all these waters. We must speak of his love. Why, if his love were not a mighty love, as the hymn writer puts it, when Jesus with his mighty love visits this heart of mine. My doubts remove, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Now what mighty love was that, that saved that election that fell in Adam, that saved that election of his grace, that became through the original sin and by their actual sin, abhorrent in his sight, viewed as they are in themselves, mightier. But all the might of his glorious gospel, that eternal purpose that appointed a righteousness for this people that no sin could touch, because it wasn't their righteousness. It was the righteousness of his own dear Son. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. He's above all that. My dear friend, this is the point I want to try as the Lord to help me to impress upon you. I know I can't, but I would seek the Holy Spirit might impress it upon your heart. That what is set forth here is this: the Lord on high is mightier. We must therefore know the Lord on high, putting forth his almighty power to save us from these floods. That's the point. The Lord on high. And as he is on high, how can he be known in this way I've just spoken of? How can he be known in this way whereby those floods don't overflow you? How can he be known in that way whereby your sin does not have dominion over you? How can he be known in that way whereby Satan does not have you under his control, nor the world? He can only be known through his dear Son, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to your soul. I thought of that word in Psalm 89. The Lord on high. Oh, that mighty counsel of Jehovah that says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. Jesus Christ, his own dear Son. On high. He is on high. Remember that when the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, having taken our nature without sin into union with himself, when he was on this earth, he spoke of himself being at that same time in heaven. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Why? We can't comprehend that. I can't explain it to you. You couldn't possibly understand any attempt I would make to explain it. It's inexplicable because he is the infinite God. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, that mighty redemption. The Son of God becoming man without sin, made under the law. Oh, the might. But you see, that might, it stands in the fulfillment of the will of the Father by the Son of God. And so the might is not demonstrated as it was in creation. It couldn't be. It's demonstrated, it is wrought out in the way God promised Adam and Eve just after that flood had come in. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. It's not with Peter's sword that he took to Gethsemane. No, the Lord on high. Oh, my dear friend, all these carnal weapons, and that includes all your own attempts to overcome this flood. That's carnal weapons. Every carnal resolve, every attempt of yourself to do it, that includes all creature faith, all creature repentance, all creature supposed love. They're all carnal inventions. You won't find those in the economy of God's grace. The Lord on high, he doesn't save people in the way people think he will save them. What is the way people think God will save them from the flood? They're swimming. They're stopping that flood. They're doing such things as shall please God. The way man thinks he'll be saved is by works. What an earthy thing that is. What a carnal thing that is. It's lies, it's deceit. And there's no more cruel man in this world than a minister who preaches that which is not truth. We read in the newspapers of the awful tyrants in our day. Oh, the grievous condition of this country. Murders every day, increasing. But my dear friend, those murderers are not as cruel as a minister who doesn't preach the truth. Because that minister who doesn't preach the truth, who sets before the people that they must do this and they must do that, what good will that one do when they stand before their Maker? What does Jesus himself declare about those that have lived and died with that dreadful religion of works? He will say, I depart from me, I never knew you. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. His mighty voice, the voice of mercy, the voice of pardon, the voice of promise, the word of truth spoken into a poor sinner's heart. The might of the Lord. But wherein does that might consist? It consists in Jehovah in his three persons. The Father in his everlasting love. Oh, if the Father makes known to you, poor sinner, that he loves you with an everlasting love, he is not going to let someone who he loves be swept away by this flood. Mightier. Sonship. That's it, my dear friend. And that's the difference between salvation by grace and supposed salvation by works. Salvation by grace is the salvation of sons. Sons of God. God sending forth in his own time and way the Spirit of his Son into their hearts, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. The voice of the Lord, that mighty voice. This sinner whose sins rise up as a flood. The Lord on high. My dear friend, do you know the Lord on high? Has he made himself known to you as approachable through his dear Son? Does he thus cause you to approach to the Lord on high in the way the psalmist did? I will cry unto God most high, unto God which performeth all things for me. Oh, and every approach unto him, that sinner is feelingly approaching unto the Lord most high. My dear friend, he is God. Thou thoughtest, he says in the psalm, thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I've reproved thee, set them in order before thee. The Lord on high is mightier. When that sinner calls upon God most high, why, if he were not on high, there'll be no hope. You see, this is the right view that the Lord gives his people. If we have a believing view of the Lord on high, that believing view that sees that I need the Lord on high, a Lord on my level, is no Lord. I need the Lord on high. Why on high with regard to the way he saves, of his own free and sovereign grace. On high with regard to the greatness of his love and of his mercy. And on high with regard to the greatness of the salvation. I spoke of this sinner where the way, where the floods have lifted up, they're out of their depth. Oh, they need an almighty Lord. And when he speaks into their soul, when he reveals himself in the person of his dear Son, it was with this in mind I read with you that Psalm 69. The Lord's Psalm. Christ's Psalm. There's some of them, aren't there? I tried to speak here once before on one of these occasions in Psalm 22. 69 is similar. Oh, you see, the Lord on high mightier. The Lord on high the Father, he caused his Son in becoming man, without sin, to be exceedingly humiliated. In his humiliation, the humiliation of the Son of God taking the flesh of man, and the humiliation of the Son of God being under the law, and the humiliation of the Son of God bearing the sins of his people, so that he really, deeper than anyone else ever has experienced, says, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, the iniquities of his people laid upon him. But you see, he prevailed. He prevailed. Christ prevailing. Now that means, my dear friend, Christ coming and dwelling in your hearts by living faith, and that will send those floods back. That will stem the course of that flood. That will cause those floods to recede. That will cause those sins of yours that lift up, that will cause them to disappear. And that will cause the power of sin in your nature, which is like a flood, to be subdued. And one day, to be eternally put away. When your body dies and is changed and made like unto his glorious body. The Lord on high is mightier. What did he say to Zerubbabel? This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power. That is, not the might of the power of the flesh, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When the Lord on high stooped and came down, and when the Lord on high, the blessed Holy Spirit of truth, takes of the things of Jesus and shows them to your poor soul, and the voice of mercy and of pardon from Calvary is mightier than the voice of condemnation from Sinai, and the voice of the Son of God is stronger, mightier than the voice of Satan in all his accusations. The accuser of the brethren is cast out. You see then the necessity for these floods. The necessity for the fall. The necessity for the entrance of sin originally. It shall redound to the glory of God. The fall made way for the manifestation of God's glorious purpose of salvation. And it's going to be like that in the experience of each of his people. Not just once. The Lord on high mightier. Oh, go back to that mighty love. It's the foundation of it all. When, my dear friend, it's your repeated sins and it's like a flood. It keeps coming. But you see, as the Lord causes you to see it keep coming, and causes you again and again to be in that condition of needing mercy, and direct you to his dear Son in prayer. The Lord on high, mightier. You say, oh, my sins stop my prayers. They won't stop the prayers that are indicted by the Holy Spirit. You say, my sins harden me. They won't harden a heart. That is, they won't prevail in that heart that is softened by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, these sins take hold of me, you say, and usher me as far from the Lord as it seems possible to come. But if you're the Lord's, he'll go to the end of the earth to find you. And he'll bring you back with weeping and with supplication. You say, what are you speaking of? I'm speaking of salvation by grace, my dear friend. The Lord on high mightier. I mentioned just now John Warburton and his expression, devil dragged and devil driven. Well, if you remember, in his life, when he first used that expression in the pulpit, his wife reproved him for it. She didn't know the devil then. But Warburton thought to himself, oh, if the Lord has mercy upon her and teaches her, she won't find fault with me talking about devil dragging and devil driving. Well, she went to hear another minister. She was so tired of hearing about devil dragging, she went to hear another minister. But she came back chastened. Oh, John Warburton said to her, how did you get on? Oh, It was worse than your devil dragging, she said. This minister has told me to live up to my privileges. He told me I must watch and pray. He told me I must trust in the Lord. But there was nothing for a poor, undone, lost, ruined, helpless sinner like me. Of course, John Warburton rejoiced. The Lord on high is mightier. Poor sinner, there this afternoon and the floods have lifted up and they left you with nothing. And in this condition, a minister that tells you to do something is an increaser of your woe, like those three ministers that preached to Job. Miserable comforters. But oh, when the Lord speaks. The Lord on high, mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. That stilling word, peace, be still. And immediately there was a great calm. What manner of man is this, they said, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Amen.
Tea will be served shortly on the right-hand side of the chapel, and the collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us now close with hymn 119. Great God, from Thee there's naught concealed, Thou seest my inward frame, to Thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
Thank you.
Lord, forgive all that has been wrong in thy sight. Bless thy own word. Help us and be with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.